Thank you. Please be seated. You know, like I was really cold back there, but it's like really hot. I'm going to take off this sweater. Yeah. Oh, I'm excited to be with you this morning behind the podium, not singing. I mean, I love to sing, but Tanya, I want to give her thanks for giving me this opportunity to share with you today. And I get to continue the subject that she shared on last week. And do you remember what she shared?
Angels.
Angels. Yeah. You know, it's one of my favorite topics to talk about and read about and study in the Word. My all-time favorite is Jesus, of course. But I heard in the manifestations this morning to go forth and claim the kingdom. And, of course, Jesus is our King, God is our Father, and then we have a whole host of heavenly beings called angels that are part of that kingdom. So we're going to look at today how some of those angels operate. Well, we're going to not look at all that they do, but some of what they do. Soon after we left our old church, I started searching angels. And come to find out, my mama, she had all of these, back in the day, cassette tapes of different preachers that taught about angels. And so I devoured those, and I got Tom involved, and we were just thrilled. You know, and I've learned that, you know, knowing that this kingdom exists, that I have such peace and confidence that I'm never alone, never, never alone. There might not be people around, but I'm never alone. That I am well taken care of, and that the Father and my Lord love me. They love me so much. So, since this is the Christmas season, we are going to read the accounts surrounding the birth of Jesus. And you are probably aware that there was a lot of angelic activity in those accounts. So Ellen got some people for me to help me read, so you don't have to listen to me all the time. We're going to read in Luke first. Luke chapter 1. Starting in verse 11 through 25, and Jane is going to read that for us.
Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call him John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people.
Thank you. All right, so we notice in verse 13 back up again. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy prayer is heard. And the angel was sent to give the answer to that prayer. What do you suppose his prayer was? He wanted a kid. Yeah, he wanted a child, a male child even. He wanted a male child. And that angel, whether he heard the prayer directly, I don't know, but he was sent because of that prayer. He was sent because of that prayer and gave Zacharias the answer. And we saw in verse 24, and after those days his wife conceived and hid herself. And in verse 25, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. So his prayer was answered, and the angel brought the news of that prayer. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, the Gentile centurion, saw an angel. Do you remember that account? We're not going to read the entire thing, but let's go to Acts chapter 10. He saw an angel and he beckoned for Peter, sent for Peter to come and see him. And so Peter ended up going to his house and asked why Cornelius had sent for him. And in verse 30, Cornelius says, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. So this man that he saw in bright clothing, if we jump back over to verse 3 of chapter 10, he saw in a vision, evidently, which means clearly, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And so he had a prayer, right? Cornelius was praying and this angel appeared. So we can see just from those two accounts that angels, they actually saw them, but angels moved at the prayer of those people. They were sent by God to give those people the answers to their prayers. So that's some angelic activity that we can see that goes on. Back in the Old Testament, in Daniel had prayed. He was praying for Israel, because they were like not doing what they were supposed to be doing. You know, they did that rather often. So he was really praying for them. And okay, what verse was it? Daniel and verse 12. Well, let me back it up just a little bit. He had prayed, and let's go back to verse 8. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, this angelic being that he was talking about. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me up on my knees and upon the palms of my hands. So he was hands and knees on the ground. And behold, okay, I just read that one. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And what did he do? Read it with me. I am come for thy words. So in response to Daniel's prayer and meditation how did it word it? When he was chastening himself, that's what prompted that angelic visit. The angel came for his words. Isn't that cool? You know, back in my old church, we were well schooled on the evil one's kingdom. And I learned there that they travel. The evil one's spirits travel on our words. And I thought, when I learned this, I thought, well, you know, those guys used to be angels. And when they were cast out, right? They used to be angels. And we have 2/3 more of those good angelic beings that are out there sent for us. Okay, let's go on to Luke chapter 1. Back to the Christmas story, as we call it. Luke chapter 1. And we're going to read Tim is going to read this time, verses 26 through 38.
Okay, this is from the NIV. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked, asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." Lord's servant Mary answered, "May your word be to me fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Thank you. Yes. All right. Well, you remember when Jane read, Gabriel had just visited Zacharias. This Gabriel guy, he was pretty busy. He was pretty busy around this time of year. So in Luke, where Tim just read, you know, it was in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy that he came to visit Mary and to give her that news. Now, Mary probably was not praying for this to happen to her. So this is a little bit different situation than Zacharias's. But he was sent for some very important news, the important news of the ages, right? The important news of the ages. But what really blessed me about this account was in verse 37, the King James reads, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And I like the Weymouth's translation. It says, "For no promise from God will be impossible of fulfillment." And I felt like that, what that did for Mary's heart at that time, because it's like, yowza, you know, I'm going to have a baby, and I don't know a man, you know, that would be, you know, if I were a teenage girl, she was probably about 14, 15 years old maybe, that would be a frightening thing. But what peace this gave to her. So I want you to right now to think of a promise from God that you want to see in your life. Think of that in your head. Because no promise of God will be impossible of fulfillment. Okay. Now let's jump down to verse 39. If you would put that on the screen in the King James. Because this was Mary's response to that. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. So think of that promise that you have in your head that you want to see fulfilled in your life, because no promise from God will be impossible of fulfillment. Okay, so I want you to read this part with me, be it unto me according to thy word. Okay, you ready? Go. Be it unto me according to thy word. Okay, his word is faithful. His word is true. Be it unto me according to thy word. So Mary went on to visit Elizabeth, who through the Spirit confirmed what Mary heard from the angel. And so in verse 45 of the King James, we'll read, and blessed is she that believed. Do you believe? Yep, blessed are you that believe. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. There shall be a performance of those things which were told you from the Lord. Those promises in his word were told to you and me, right? So there shall be a performance of those things. All right, so far we've read the Luke events. Let's move on to Matthew. And Mark Halley is going to read Matthew 1, verses 18 through 23.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child by the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
All right. So we see here that an angel appeared to Joseph, but how was that? In a dream, okay? So the angel appeared to him in a dream. In the beginning of chapter 2, the Magi came to worship Jesus. And in verse 12, it says that they were warned by God in a dream. Now, it doesn't say right there that they saw any angels in their dreams, but they were warned by God in a dream, okay? And then as we go on in Luke 2, I'm going to have Marty read verses 1 through 17.
Want me to hold it for you?
That'd be great.
Thank you.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Well, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child.
Okay, so we see here that one angel appeared first to bring the message to the shepherds, and then there was a host that came. And did they dawdle? Did they wait a minute or two or a day or two? No, they made haste. They went right away. Let's flip back to Luke, because I forgot to read this one. In Matthew chapter 2, in verse 13, when the Magi departed, they were warned in a dream and they departed. And when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt." Because remember, Herod was going to have all the children killed from age 2 and under. So he told them to take the child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So when he arose, the next day, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother, or maybe not even the next day, because look, it says by night, and departed into Egypt. So again, in a dream, and he didn't piddle around. He got right on it, and he departed into Egypt. So angels appear in dreams. So that's pretty cool. I've never had that happen. I think there are people that have. Let me know if you have. I would like to hear that testimony. Angels appearing in your dreams. And then, you know, if we hear a message, let's get right on it. Let's get her done. Okay, let's do what we are told to do. All right, so one of the main jobs of angels is to bring messages to us. They are sent in that way. Another job that they have is, and Tanya mentioned this last week, about being worshipers. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. The book of Hebrews was written to the Jews who were believers in Jesus. In chapter 1, the superiority of Jesus to the angels is discussed. So we can learn about the angels from this. But we know Jesus is higher than the angels. At one point, they had to serve him. They ministered to him at one point. But after he was ascended and seated at the right hand of God, they are no longer serving him. He's telling them what to do. It says in, I forget where it is, but that the angels are subject to him. So the Hebrews needed to know that, apparently, because that's what whoever the writer of Hebrews was is instructing them about the superiority of Jesus. And it appears several times throughout the book of Hebrews, how he is superior. But I wanted to show you in verse... Let's see, where do I want to start? We're going to start in verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 1. being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God do what? Worship him. Okay, so we know the angels are worshipers. The angels are worshipers. And of the angels, this is what he says about the angels. He saith, Who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? And a lot of times the angels, when they appear, they're like really bright lights. And we saw the description there in Daniel. You know, he was light, brightly lit, like a flame of fire. Let's jump down to verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? He said that to Jesus. He didn't say that to the angels. But what do the angels do? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Angels are messengers. They are worshipers. They are ministers. Isn't that cool? They are ministers. Sent forth to minister. Minister is to serve. To serve. Like in a public, to serve the public. And that's the public of the kingdom, right? The public of the kingdom of God. And they are sent forth for them who shall be heirs of salvation. That word shall be is the Greek word mello, M-E-L-L-O. And it's used of those things which will come to pass by fixed necessity or divine appointment. That's from Thayer's Greek lexicon, okay? And these are things that are sure to happen, shall be heirs of salvation. Heirs of, when you are an heir, you inherit something, right? You inherit something. And Thayer says about that word that it's to obtain by the right of inheritance. To receive the portion assigned to one or receive as one's own. That is the word inherit or heirs, being heirs of. Remember in Romans 8:17 that it says that we are children. Then we are heirs of God. If we are children, which we are heirs of God and we are joint heirs with Christ. And these Hebrew people were Jesus people. They believed in Jesus. They were needing some instruction though, like we all do, right? They were needing some instruction. And they were children. They were heirs, but they didn't really maybe know as much as they could know about that. And kind of like we are. We don't know as much as we could know, I'm sure. But they were heirs, heirs of God. So we are sure to receive as our own the great salvation. As it's called in verse 3 of chapter 2, it's called our great salvation. We don't want to neglect our great salvation. But we are sure to receive as our own this great salvation. We are sure to obtain by the right of inheritance this great salvation. We are sure to receive the portion assigned to us, which is this great salvation. Sounds like a good deal, doesn't it? We are sure to receive this. And that's what that word shall be is. Shall be. Those angels are being sent forth for our sakes, for service. You know, they're serving because we are sure to receive our salvation. And they're helping us get it. That's their serving. They are helping us get that salvation. So this salvation word, I need to tell you about that too. Because sometimes we think salvation and we think, okay, born again, salvation. I'm saved from hell, right? And hallelujah, we are saved from hell. Amen. Right? We are saved from hell. And that is part of that word. It is the Greek word soteria. I don't know if you've heard of that before, soteria, which comes from sozo, and I know you've heard that word, sozo. Sozo is the verb, soteria is the noun. I teach language, so I know these things. So, you know, there's a whole teaching on that word, soteria, that I don't have time for today. But I wanted to kind of give you a brief definition of that word salvation. It means welfare. Faring well. You want to have farewell, right? In your life, you have welfare. It means prosperity. It means deliverance. It means preservation and safety. That's all included in that word soteria. So shall you be an heir of that salvation? Yes, amen. Today, tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day, we shall be an heir of that salvation. We are sure to receive our welfare, our prosperity, our deliverance, our preservation, our safety. We are sure to receive that. We are sure, or the angels are sent forth for us to minister, to serve us our welfare, our prosperity, our deliverance, our preservation, and our safety. That's what they're there for. Isn't that cool? That's what they are sent for. As ministers, in this case, we're talking about their ministry, the ministry of angels, the way they serve us, and this is how they do it. The original kind of meaning of that word, minister, is waiting on tables. So as you know, if you picture yourself at your restaurant, and if you have a good waiter or waitress, they are watching. They are watching your drink cup, right? They are watching, do you need a plate taken away? Do you need any, and they're checking with you to see, you know, what do you need? So that just gives me a really cool mind picture that we have this invisible realm, because I've never seen an angel, but I know they're there. We have this invisible realm serving us. They are serving us, and they come for our words. They come for our words. So we got to watch our mouths, right? We can't be speaking trash about ourselves or our lives or our kids or our work, our coworkers. We need to be speaking the word of God, because they're not going to come for trash words. They're going to come for the words of God that we speak, words that match up with the word of God. Chapter 2 of Hebrews verse 1 says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Those Hebrews that this was written to apparently had kind of forgotten some of the things that they had heard about their salvation. And so the writer of Hebrews is encouraging them, hey, come on now, give earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Lest at any time we let them slip. We don't want to let the word of God slip away from us. We want to keep the word of God in our heads and in our hearts, so that that trash doesn't come out of our mouths. Because out of the abundance of the heart, man does what? Yes. Speaks, right? So we got to keep the word in there. We got to keep the word in our thoughts, so that we are speaking those things that those angels can act on. They can't act on trash. They act on the word of God. When we were talking about that word soteria, how much time do I have? There's a glare, like... I have 45 more minutes. Woohoo! Okay. they are out there to serve, to keep us safe. And we know that from another scripture, which is in Psalm 91, which is one of my faves. Psalm 91, we won't read the entire thing, if I can find it here real quick. Psalm 91. I quote this one rather often. I'm going to start in verse 10 of Psalm 91. There shall no evil befall me, I put in there. There shall no evil befall me or us. I usually do it for us, our family, and my kids, my grandkids. It keeps growing. There shall no evil befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. That's where we live, our dwelling. That's where we live. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep, which means to watch over, protect, to keep thee in all thy ways. Now, some people will add, you know, your ways of being right. And I'm thinking, you know, if I'm right all the time, I probably don't need that, right? So they're out there to protect us, you know, even when we do stupid crap, you know, we do stupid stuff sometimes. And, you know, he protects us from that. Have you ever maybe kind of run a stop sign? You know, you didn't really mean to. It slipped up on you and went right through. And by golly, there were no other cars coming at that time. You know, who saved you from that? Probably those angels that are right around with you wherever you go. So, you know, my husband, bless his heart, has had many opportunities for the angels to save him, to save him. And I appreciate that. I am so thankful. And I have such peace. If you're not a parent yet, or if you are a parent and your kids aren't driving age yet, you know, when they get those cars and they're out driving, or they're driving your car, you know, you just, I can't be with them all the time, you know, and I'm happy for that. But I know who is with them. They've got their Father, their Heavenly Father, they've got Jesus, and they've got their angels. They are never alone. They are never without help. They are never without protection. And it's just so comforting to me to know that this, I mean, they're here. I can't see them, but they're here today. Because you all brought your angels with you, whether you knew you did or not, they are here. They are here. They are with you. They are protecting you. They are listening to what you say. And they are bringing to pass. Because God sent them, and Jesus sends them now, because he's, you know, they are subject to him, to do that. That's their job. Isn't that cool? That is their job. And they do bring us messages. They bring us messages, too. You know, when I hear something from the Lord, I guess it's the Lord. I don't distinguish God's voice or Jesus's voice or the angels. I don't know. I'm just glad I hear. You know, I don't really care who's telling me. But I believe, like it says in Revelation 1, that God gave the message to Jesus. Jesus gave the message to John, and John wrote it down. Right? No. Angel. No. Gave it to the angel. I left the angel out. Shoot. That was my whole subject. Jesus gave it to the angel. And the angel gave it to John. Okay. Yeah. So that's what I meant to say. Thank you, dear. So, you know, I want you to get excited about the ministry of angels. You know, they were highly active in Jesus's day and before he was born. And the people in biblical times were aware, maybe much more aware than what we are today, that the angelic realm was out there helping them. So get excited. Get excited. Be at peace knowing that you have help. You have help. And they help you get, what did I say? They help you get your welfare, your prosperity, your deliverance, your preservation, and your safety. And of course, within all of that is healing. Is healing. Because you might need deliverance from something that's ailing you. Okay? So within all of that, the angels are there helping you to get the promises of God. So be excited. And that's a little bit of what I know. I don't have time for much more. So God bless you and expect miracles. Expect that help.
Wow, wasn't that great? What a day. Don't you feel like I can conquer the world now? Let's go out with our angels and conquer the world. I'll have a quick prayer. Father, we are so thankful. We are so amazed at your love and your power and your presence in our lives. Thank you that the whole kingdom is here with us and that it goes with us wherever we go. And thank you that, like it says in Psalms 103, the angels hearken to the voice of your word. When we speak it, they listen, just like Sue was teaching. So put a guard over our lips, like you say you will, and help us this week be really focused on you, really aware of your presence and the presence of the kingdom, and help us speak words of that are from you and of you, and that allow the angels to go to work on our behalf in all kinds of ways that we don't see. We love you, we thank you, and we give our lives to you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Have a great week.
Christian Family Fellowship Ministry would like to thank you for listening to this recording of our Sunday service. If you would like to partner with us in your giving, you can go to www.cffm.org and use the Give tab, or you can use your cell phone and text to give at area code 937-502-2999. All donations to Christian Family Fellowship are tax deductible. If you'd like to receive free CDs of our weekly service, you can register on our webpage under the Contact Us tab. They are also available as a podcast on iTunes, or you can download them or listen to them on our webpage. Thank you for your generosity and support for the broad efforts of Christian Family Fellowship Ministry, as together we bring God's Word and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ to our world.